Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 Cairo International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Marie Monge, who's presenting the film Treat Me Like Fire. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're basically just out of the screening of your film. I thought it was very gripping and interesting, but for the listeners who are not familiar with it yet, would you like to maybe introduce it and just say as much as you'd like?
I would say it's a tale about love and addiction, and how love can be an addiction, who takes place in the underground gambling world in Paris that is now disappeared. So it's kind of also about this, this old heart of Paris that is disappearing right now.
So let's start off from the theme of addictive love. How much do you know about it?
I know more about addictive love than addiction to gambling, but I've been very close to all sorts of addiction in my life and addictive people, and I realize that all the addiction works on the same scale. And my perspective was to try to tell something about addiction in a codependency, and to try to talk about to the two addiction as a mirror from each other, like as a metaphor, and to say that most of the time addiction is nothing moral, is something that more sensitive, more fragile people try to feel alive or feel something and need something more in their life. And when the rich is love, you can survive because you can survive to that. When the vertigo or the impulse is too destructive, like gambling, when there is no luminous point, you can die from it.
So we were talking a little bit after the film and before this interview, and you said that this film is also set in your neighborhood, right?
Yes, I live in that part of Paris.
Quite a rough part of Paris, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's different than the one you see on most movies and on postcards, but it's a very exciting part of Paris for me.
Yeah. Why is it exciting for you?
Because it's very diverse, it's very mixed, and it's changing very fast right now. So you have all sorts of culture and social backgrounds and different kind of people, and more importantly, when it turns night, it's a total different side than you can see.
So it's different by day than it is by night. But this film is very much examining, I guess, the night side of things?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think nights is way more exciting.
Why do you think that?
Because I think adventure comes at night. Like when you go at night, the time feels different, and you're just more likely to meet people you would not meet in your day life. And it just makes it more exciting. When I think about my previous work, like my short film and medium film, it was most of the time set during the night time. And a lot of my short film was set in Paris, where I used to live. So I really have this sense of, I like to look what is around me, and because I don't see it so often in the cinema, I don't really see this kind of Paris. So this is how I started. I started to film with people I knew, or people who fascinated me in the neighborhoods I used to live in, and I did that in that one too.
Yeah. Is that also the case with the actors? Did you know them too?
On that case, it was a mix. Like the actor that I really know before and is a really close friend of mine for 10 years and we worked before was Karim Leclou, who was playing Abel's cousin. So this part is written for him. For the other actors, I met them through the film. Stacy Martin, because you say Martin, she's French. But I've met her in a festival a couple of years ago when Nymphomaniac was released, because I was totally fall in love with her watching the film, and then I had a chance to meet her. So I went before I even started to write, and I was like, I have this project, and 3 years later I sent her the script. So I really thought about her the whole time, but I didn't knew her personally at the time. And Tahar is very famous in France. We didn't met before, but I knew his work, and it was the first time he plays that kind of characters. Like, most of the time, he's the one who desire is the main character, and he's never been looked as an object of desire. And I think this is why he gave us a very different performance in this film.
And just in case any of our listeners hear the sounds of the street, it's because we are outdoors, but it also suits, I guess, the film itself. I wanted to ask you, in fact, that because the film has such urgence and obviously tries to kind of represent, and I think does a wonderful job, the themes of addiction and very powerful addiction, the camera as well seems like we're really in the middle of the action. So it's just a few comments about like the importance of the way in which the camera moves in this film.
Well, actually, it's an interesting point because one of my first image was I wanted a film that was all the time in movement, because this is a film when you are submerged by feelings and emotion and a state. Basically, it's more a movie about sensation than is a movie about reason. And so I wanted to have a movie that goes kind of very fast, like an impulse. I don't know, pulsion? Is it correct? Yes?
Impulse, yeah.
An impulse. And so with my DOP, Paul Guillaume, we really thought about like different kind of movement. Like, for example, at the beginning of the movie, the main character, Ella, she's working at her dad's restaurant, and it's a very controlled life, and she is very organized. So we work on Dolly because it's a very organized movement, if you will, more choreographic, and she's in control. And at the moment, Abel enters her life, and she's going to get her out of this little fish tank she's in. We go on shoulder camera because it's more uncertain and it's not a control movement and it's more physical. And we do a different kind of movement the whole time in the film. Like, you have description with Crane and something more mental. And you also have Steadicam. And Steadicam is when you have like more suspension. So we try to really create a sense of experience, physical experience for the audience.
Right. No, it's interesting that you getting into this, you know, how you use the camera in it. As a filmmaker, do you think that that's something that's a starting point for you?
Well, movement is a starting point. Like, I think when I think about a project, the first thing I have in my mind is the energy of it. And you talk about the sense of emergency, and in addiction you always have the sense of emergency because you are on need. Yes.
Yeah.
And all my movies have been about a change of rhythm, I think, in a way. And that's what I really am really excited about, is like to see a change of rhythm and see how you can carry on something. And so yeah, I would say there was an emergency to shoot in that neighborhood before it disappeared, because it's changing very fast with gentrification. So I really wanted to that was kind of the last moments to do it. And for the little story, all these gambling clubs don't exist anymore. When I went the first time, I was 22 years old. I discovered that totally by accident.
Yeah.
Because I had a friend who was a gambler, and I knew that. And one night we were having drinks in that neighborhood, and he said, well, now I'm going to go gamble. I was like, okay, where are you going? Because me, I only knew casino style. And he said, oh, I'm just going there by the street. And we walk together, and there was this little door that I walked by every day, and I didn't have a single idea what was behind that door. And I just go down the stair with him, and I enter this whole different world. And then for several years, I went to all the different places in Paris. Back then, there was like over 10 clubs like that. And through the years, there was a starting point of when they started to close. And I always been told I was a black cat. I don't know if you say that in English, but that means you bring bad luck. So the first time I entered the gambling cycle, I started to gamble and I lost. And so this is why I started to talk to people. I never gambled myself, and I was more interested in gamblers and stories and all this, the characters I've met, than the game in itself. But then people start to say, okay, you bring bad luck. And then the moment I entered that world, it started to close. And when I started to prepare the film, there was only one left, and one survivor of the old times. And they really big help because all the dealers that you see in the film, all the employees, they come from this cycle. We use the old tables. We had to recreate the whole scene. And the day of the premiere of the film, they got shut down by the police for good. So really, like, the film signed the end of that world. And it's very egocentrical to think it's because I started to enter that club that the whole thing got destroyed. So I don't really believe that.
Yeah.
But it's also a sense of emergency to talk about that world and the people who make that world before I have no other way to find them, because the places now are gone. I don't know how to contact them.
Do you feel a little sad that they're gone?
Well, I mean, I feel sad. It's I would say, I got asked one time, like, what this movie represent for you? And I think, in a way, this movie represents my 20s. Like, it represents what I discover as a young girl arriving in Paris, this neighborhood, the nightlife I discover and stuff. And now I'm 30, I did my film, and this whole lifestyle is kind of changing, and I'm changing. So I don't know if it's sad, but it's I have tenderness, even if it's a very rough world as well. But I'm sure a new place is going to happen and new exciting things going to show up. But yeah, it will forever be my youth.
I see a lot of tenderness in this film.
Well, I think so. I think the movie is nothing but tenderness. Tenderness for losers, tenderness for people who don't know how to handle life and who don't know better, who have made bad choices. People who, en français, we say les gens qui n'y arrivent pas. People who cannot make it right.
Yeah.
They can't do it. I don't know how to say that in English.
They can't make it right. That's probably how you translate it. I just want to end this interview. I love the image of you opening that door. Because in a way, I mean, for me, cinema, that's what it is. It's just doors, you know. You open and you see different things. Do you think that too?
Oh yeah. Well, actually, I would say definitely for me, my love of cinema comes from the fact that I feel like to go see a movie is to open a door in a world that I don't know about. I got very excited that because I have the cinema had alibi, I can go open doors in real life and try to ask people questions and hear stories. Otherwise, you're just going to be weird or put yourself in danger. But now I have this alibi that is terrific, just to try to live story and meet people. And so that's the best way for me to open doors, and to go see movies to open doors as well. So I agree.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. But thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you.
Once again, I remind our listeners that the film is called Treat Me Like Fire, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.